Oh boy, it looks like it's going to be a show. It's the news, according to me. Good. What is this, Wednesday? Wednesday morning. Oh, this is this is Thursday. Where am I? Who are you people? That's all I got to say about that. I have,
what's wrong with you people?
There's a good question. Oh, my word. Hey, it is Thursday, July 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've been up for about an hour, hour and a half. It's a good morning. It's a good morning. I'm at home. I'm home at the home studio, the home international home studio. And I have my chai with my coconut cream creamer in it. I think. Where'd it go? Came down here this morning. I realized that the power must have gone off at some point in our home. I had to reset some things. It's just technology it just stinks sometimes. I had to reset some things. I had to find a new cable. Then I find out I'm just getting ready to sign everything on, and I get start my computer back up again. And my keypad, my keyboard, it died. Apparently, it is a rechargeable one. Never even noticed. Never even thought about it. It was getting low, and of course it wouldn't work. Couldn't even put my password in to get in the computer. So I had to find a cable to plug that in, because I was using the cable that originally came with the computer. I was using that to plug my soundboard in, my mixer. So I had to jerry-rig the old, I did find the other one on the old computer, run that, re-rug, but then I didn't have enough plugs in this one. This one has USB-C, not the USB regular USB, whatever it is. Anyway, I don't know. I had to figure all that out. Got it working, though. I had to unplug one thing, my CD burner, which I'm not going to be using during the show anyway. So hopefully this works, and it all happens. Anyway, I've got in my cup here, I've got Cinnabon. What is it? I have to taste it to remember. This cup is not as easy to drink out of. It keeps things nice and warm, but it's got this weird lid on it. It's kind of hard to see in the dark. It's kind of dark in my studio here. I keep it kind of dark because it's dark. This is a dark show. I have now in my backup cup. The backup cup is exciting today. This is exciting. I have. Oh yeah, that's good. I have. You might notice my throat is a little bit raspy. I have a movie trailer voice guy going thing on it. I have, what is that? Oh, there we go. I have sweet peach tea that I made last week, which is peaches with peaches in it. And the peaches are, it's just perfect. I think it sat long enough. I had it on the boat over the weekend last week. And it actually made it right before we went. So it's had about 5 days to curate there, 5-6 days. It's just at that perfect stage right before it turns bad. So hopefully I can get it all drank today. I don't have much left, so it's just what's left in there with the peaches. But I have to say, that's just nearly perfect. I might have to make some more before we leave. We're going on a little camping trip, sort of. It's kind of a camping. I call it camping. It's, for one thing, we're in a motorhome, which is a Class A motorhome. It's it's more like glamping. It's not really the premium, glamping motorhomes that you see out there on the road, that massive things going down the road with a Jeep behind them. I mean, we do have a Jeep, and we do pull up behind it. It is a Class A, but we're not glamping. Of course not. No, we're roughing it, because it's not a brand. This thing's 20 years old. It's a 20-year-old motorhome. So it's not exactly the the million-dollar units you see running down the road. It's not even, what I paid for mine probably wouldn't even pay for the sales tax on one of those. So anyway, that's what we got going on. We're going to be camping a few days, but we're kind of we're taking one of the cars, kind of we're going to get there this evening. Probably going to leave Sunday morning, I think. I've got to work Sunday afternoon. It's going to be kind of tight doing that. We might have to leave Saturday night, possibly. I'm not sure exactly yet what's going to happen with all that. But we'll see how it goes. I think we're scheduled in there through Sunday morning. I think maybe not. Maybe we have to leave Saturday. I don't know. It'd be kind of worthless if we did. But dogs will have a chance to go swimming a little bit and do some running around in the water, frolicking, playing. That'll be fun. So we have that coming up, going on. In the meantime, I have a little thing I want to play for you. I don't know which ones of these I've played, which ones I haven't. I'm going to play the short version this morning just so you can kind of get through this. So don't skip ahead too far when you skip ahead, when you hear this stuff. I know some of you skip past this stuff, I'm sure. You got to be skipping past it. So let's see what happens here. We're just going to play this little ditty, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the news.
It's loud.
According to me, pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news, the news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we got it. There we go. We got it going. All right, let's just jump right into it. We got some caller stuff going on. I don't know what we're going to get from the callers today. We have this is going to be kind of a mishmash because I think there were some good questions on yesterday's stuff. Typically Mondays and Wednesdays, because the mishmash Monday and wishy-washy Wednesday. This is Theological Thursday, and sometimes I get some weird questions from the bots, and I'm not sure exactly what to expect. I think I just used a combination of some things. This morning, we brought Margaret in. Margaret is I'm not sure if she's British or Australian. I'm not sure. Might be just, you know, New Zealand. I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll have to see what she has to say today. But in the meantime, we have a lot of interesting questions, I think, are on the docket from the interwebs, the bots that the bots have created. We'll have to see what we have. I think we'll just start. We'll just start off from the top. We've got this, whatever's on the top of the list. Looks like Elena is at the top of the list. The archivist, the librarian, the historian. I'm trying to get her to light up. If I say the right words, they light up and say, "Oh, that's this person. We need to talk to this person." Okay. So anyway, we're gonna. Oh, I just about spilled my my chai there. We have. Let's just jump right into it. See if I can have any idea. What these people are talking about. Sometimes they ask questions that I don't have any clue what's going on.
Greetings, Kevin.
Oh, yes,
the Vatican's declaration of schism against the Society of St. Pius XX this week echoes the Great Schism of 1054 and the Protestant Reformation's fracturing of church unity. Historically, when the church has faced such divisions, it's been a barometer of deeper theological and cultural tensions. Given that Pope Leo is attempting to bridge conservative-progressive divides, are we witnessing the beginning of another major reformation, or is this simply history repeating the same payah?
Payah. I think there was supposed to be a longer word there. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that even means, for sure. First of all, I was kind of unaware of this. I guess I didn't realize there was a schism going on. It's a problem going on with the world of the Catholic Church. And I know that there's all kinds of trends. But to get to your point, just to draw a straight line here to what your main question is. Is your the tensions that are there in the question is there a deeper theological, is this a barometer of deeper theological issue within the, in the cultural tensions within the Catholic Church? Yes, it is. To be quite straightforward with you, there are some issues within the Catholic Church that are there's a huge. There are basically three different kind of perspectives on the Catholics and the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and where they're going with all this. Much like many other denominations, many other sects of the faith, we'll call it, Catholic Church, it just means church universal is what it means. It means the universal church. It means it's the official church of Christianity, which... I have some serious issues with the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm just going to put it out there. The Anabaptist movement, which my family is from, my upbringing, that has some issues as well. Every denomination does. Anytime you have, organized religion and you create an institution out of it, it usually ends up revolving around some kind of doctrinal practice that men, and I use the term loosely, that people have come up with. And not to say that organized religion is all in and all of itself bad, but there's, you have to, as long as you're walking into it realizing where the bad things are, you just have to kind of understand that you're not dealing with infallible people, which the Pope is not infallible. I'm sorry, that's one of the doctrines of their faith I disagree with. I think he can be very wrong about things because he's a human being. Peter was not a pope. Sorry. Jesus didn't build his church on Peter. It's amazing to me that people have gone there to that idea that, well, because Peter said, he said, he is the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. No, he used two different words there. And just let's get straight with that, first of all. He said, you are a pebble, and upon this great boulder I will build my church. The boulder was what he just said. He just confessed that Jesus is the Christ. That's the statement of faith what the church is built on. The church is built on the statement of faith, not on Peter. The first pope, if that's what we're going to call him, had a wife and kids. They don't allow their popes to have wife and kids anymore. Which, again, leads to some of the other problems that they have. But so I don't know. I don't know much about this schism. Maybe you can inform me. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit more on that. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I know that there's always going to be divisions. There's always going to be people peeling off into other directions. And I think that part of it is you're either not liberal enough or you're too liberal or whatever it is, one way or the other. It's just people want to do what they want to do, and they want their freedom from the rules. At the same time, sometimes the rules are wrong and you got to take a stand against them. There's always this kind of, turmoil going on, and it's just because we're human beings. So I guess that's kind of where I'm at with it. I don't know. I'm kind of just wandering around with my statements here. What do you think, Ellen?
You're hitting on something real here.
Of course I am.
The theological tension goes back centuries, not just today's politics. The Aramaic wordplay you're referencing about the rock is actually debated by scholars.
Yeah, well,
and
I'm
the
a scholar.
Celibacy requirement for priests came later as institutional doctrine,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Apostolic command.
Exactly.
Which is exactly why your point about Peter having a family matters historically. What we're really seeing now is that same old friction between reform movements and institutional entrenchment playing out again, just like it did with the Anabaptists you mentioned, people pushing back when they feel the rules have drifted too far from the original intent.
Yeah, that's my point. It's institutionalization of religion. Yeah, this. So I don't know if she said anything that I necessarily disagree with or agree with. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Let's just move on. I'm really not that familiar with what's going on with that one, so I'm not sure exactly what else to say about it. Let's see what more common sense individual has to say.
Kevin, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's
Quick
up, brother?
Technical question about that Manhattan high-rise structural failure they've been evacuating all week.
I've been digging
into the developer's preliminary report, and they're pointing to microfractures in the load-bearing columns from the winter freeze-thaw cycles we had.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Do you think this is going to trigger a wave of mandatory ultrasonic inspections across all pre-2020 towers in NYC? And what's that going to cost taxpayers?
Well, and I don't care. I don't live in New York or wherever that's at. Was it Manhattan? I guess it was. Manhattan already has some of the highest taxes in the planet, and they waste it anyway. So I don't know that anybody cares whether their tax dollars are going anymore. If you live in Manhattan, you don't care about your tax dollars because they just collect them and blow everything on stupid things anyway. But this is the kind of thing, and this probably what they'll probably come down to, and what probably ended up happening here. I'm not an engineer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not an engineer. I have no idea. I do know what the I have heard a little bit about this though. Now, so apparently they got some columns. Now the problem with this structurally, as I understand things, is when you have a building like this, if part of it starts to twist up and go down, it destroys the structural integrity. The buildings aren't made to just stand, you know, partially on their own. The whole building kind of depends on everything else being structurally sound. I mean, you can't just take part of it away and say, well, that part's going to fall down, but everything else is going to stay up. It doesn't happen that way. It's very possible that everything could start pancaking once something starts to collapse. It's not made to support that kind of thing. It's that, you know, the pressures that are happening there. So they're going to have to take this thing down. You know, the problem is it could just collapse on its own, it's an uncontrolled demolition who knows where it's going to go or what's going to do. They need a controlled demolition or a structural, you know, disassembly or whatever it's called. And the only way to do that, they have to get some way of shoring up or creating a stable process there. So the parts that are bad have got to be stabilized before they can even start really doing anything, because otherwise it could, you know, this is causing all kinds, because it's too unpredictable. They can't know exactly what's going to happen should part of that blow out. Now, to get to your point about the question about whether buildings need to be, I think probably it would be a good idea to do so anyway. I mean, they're sometimes building structures, especially when the government is involved, when there's inspections going on, sometimes there's things that people get away with to save money. They will do things that, you know, they find out later on, well, it was supposed to last for 100 years. It only lasted for 25 or 30 or 50 years. Because it was supposed to last a lot longer, because they did something different with the cement or whatever they did, they put different steel in it, or they put steel from somewhere else in it, because during that period of time there was a shortage somewhere, or maybe a supply chain issue. You know, like during the 2020 issues that we were having with supply chains, you have to wonder what kind of construction was going on during that period of time. So there's always this issue of, you know, they put these kinds of bolts in instead of those kinds of bolts on that bridge. That's why the thing came down, or that's why this whole thing collapsed. The engineering was bad, or whatever it is. When they made some changes in the building while they were building it, and they decided to just cut this away and put that over there, and that was never designed to be able to hold that much weight. Whatever it is, and so there's always these kinds of things that happen because there's compromises that go on, you know, between the architect, the design guy, and the actual engineer, and then the construction workers and the people who are paying for everything. It's just there's all these this mix of things that has to happen. It wouldn't be a bad idea if they did check them all, but I don't know if they're going to find it. It's hard to find this kind of stuff, even with ultrasounding, you know, type stuff. So we'll just have to see what happens with this. But it's they're in a tough situation because this is not an easy. No, not just anybody can do this kind of work. They've got to first of all get the thing so it's safe, so they can even work on it. Because that's going to be the problem. I think that the biggest challenge I think is going to be that. It's always an unknown wild card kind of thing. A good question though. I mean, but it's, you know.
Yeah. So technically speaking, freeze thaw microfractures are absolutely a real failure mode.
Yeah.
Water gets into concrete, expands when it freezes, and boom, you're looking at progressive weakening over winters. But here's the thing. Mandatory ultrasonic inspections across all pre-2000 towers would be astronomically expensive.
Yeah.
And honestly, we'd probably find problems in way more buildings than the city's prepared to actually fix.
Well, that's
which creates a whole liability nightmare they're going to try to avoid.
Yeah.
My guess is they'll do some targeted inspections on similar age, similar design buildings and hope they don't have the same issues. Because admitting this is systemic would require admitting they've been letting degrading infrastructure sit under people's feet for decades.
Well, you know, and that's a good point. I think the real issue here is not just the cost of, you know, doing the inspections. It's what they're going to find during the inspections. Because I guarantee you they're going to find a lot of things and probably a lot more things than they're ready to deal with. And that is even, you know, that's 100 times the expense of fixing this stuff is more 100 times more expensive than the inspections themselves. And the inspections themselves could end up being a huge nightmare with regard to costs involved. So it's just, this is the issue with, I know... One time I had it was like 20 years ago. I had a friend of mine, he bought into a condo situation. And come to find out, he got into this condo and he bought the thing. And then within just less than 6 months, it was just a few months into it, this board had a meeting apparently. And they found some kind of inspection had been done and they found some kind of issues in the foundation of the building. And of course, it's like a homeowners association in this condo thing. They all have to chip in and fix this stuff. So it's all part of the. Now, of course, now they're going to put it into like a 20-year payment type thing. And so, you know, over the course of however many years, it's going to go into the you know, because it's they can finance it into the building or whatever. So they have a monthly fee they have to pay. It's sort of like an HOA type thing. It's just pay into for a management fund type thing, property management, whatever. And it's sometimes that can be as much as a house payment itself. But so he was paying into this thing. I think when he started, I think the HOA payment or whatever that was property management fund was like $300 a month or whatever it was. But that was on top of his payment for the condo. And then he, if I remember right, they had this big meeting. They found this crack in the foundation. It was going to cost X amount of dollars. It was going to raise the property. Man, I think it was $150 per person, I think. There was apparently some money in this kitty that was there available to kind of pay out to get the thing started, and they were going to pay the contractor over years, and they were going to finance it. It was all kinds of complicated stuff, I remember. I remember what he was talking about. But anyway, So they paid this guy, they paid him 50% up front. Contractor wanted 50% up front. Got his money. It was at that time, I think it was like 80 grand or 85 grand or something up front to do for the initial assessment and everything, and it was all done. But I think there was more than that involved. It seemed like it was more like maybe it was $800,000, I think, for the total job. And I think it was around $400,000 for the down payment or the upfront costs. And the guy took the money and set up the contracts and did everything. And then the guy just basically disappeared. They couldn't find him anywhere. He just kind of vanished. And of course, because of that, they ran out of the money. Now, of course, now they don't have any money. because now all their money that they've gotten, everything that they had, they're finding, you know, who's going to pay that bill? Who's going to pay for that? They financed that stuff. So now they've got to refigure this out. It was a crime that was committed, basically, but at the same time, you know, they were ripped off. However, somebody's got to pay that. It was that money's gone somewhere. And the guy basically just ran off, left the country. And I don't know if they ever found him. In the meantime, they still have a building with a crack in it, and it's got to be fixed within a certain amount of time, or the inspectors basically can shut the place down and evacuate everybody. And so they ended up going through the whole process again and finally found a contractor that would work with them that was honest about the whole thing. But, of course, it was going to cost the same amount of money. It was actually going to cost a little bit more. And I don't know, but all I know is their HOA payments went through the roof. I think they were ended up paying about $1,000 a month. And of course they tried to sue the tenants tried to sue the HOA leaders. Of course they can't. That was kind of hard to do. They were just doing they didn't necessarily due diligence, but they were in good faith. They were negotiating with this contractor and they were trying to do the best thing. And you can't really, they're kind of volunteers basically. So you can't really do much about it. However, it was a mess. And this is one of the reasons I oppose getting involved in those kinds of situations with regard to real estate. I don't even like paying, you know, property taxes, let alone extra, you know, HOA thing that happens. So yeah, I feel bad for the taxpayers in that situation, but they kind of got what they pay for.
That's exactly the wild card nobody wants to pull. You discover a structural issue and suddenly you're financing a 20-year repair while the contractor either disappears or bleeds you dry on change orders. And there's no real recourse because the HOA board were just trying their best in good faith. That condo situation your friend got stuck in is textbook. 50% down to a contractor with no skin in the game is basically handing someone a blank check to vanish, and then everybody else foots the bill for years while the building still needs fixing anyway.
Yep, that's the thing. You got an older building with issues, and now you've got still got an older building with issues. And it's do you put the money into it? What do you do? You know, it's just I try to stay away from those kinds of situations, condos, HOAs, those kinds of things. It just seems kind of crazy, in my opinion. But let's go to the more the skeptical pushbacker. He's the guy who always pushes back. Hold on there now.
Kevin, my man, hey, playing devil's advocate here.
Of course
everyone's
you are.
Everyone's talking about this extremist streamer declaring NYC an Islamic Republic after the Egypt World Cup win. Musk and Jones want him deported, but here's my question. Aren't we seeing the real-time consequences of decades of weak American Christianity? When the church compromised on doctrine and watered down the gospel, didn't we create the vacuum that other religions are rushing to fill?
Well, you've hit on a couple different things here. First of all, I wasn't even aware who won the World Cup. I didn't even pay attention. After the U.S. was out of it, I stopped paying attention. Wasn't paying that much attention anyway. I'm a soccer guy. It's pretty sad, isn't it? I've probably been paying more attention to the Women's Basketball League thing, but I guess because Caitlin Clark is she's a Hoosier. She's here, you know, the Fever is here in Indiana. I'm in here in Indiana. So it's watching the drama there more between her and Sophie. I'm not sure exactly what Sophie's going to do, but it's apparently Caitlin Clark is leaving the Fever. She's quit ball altogether. She just signed on to a $20 million contract, I think, with Wilson or somebody, and she had her own shoe or something. There's this other gal on the team who apparently is the captain of the team or something, I guess, and has been. Basically, he's just put up all kinds of resistance against Caitlin and done some stuff. And it's just very strange, very weird stuff in the background. It's just all of a sudden, all the politics are getting aired out. All the, you know, the dirty laundry stuff is happening. And apparently, Caitlin just said, I've had enough of this. I'm done with this. Now, if Caitlin walks out and Sophie, if Sophie may quit, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Sophie. Those two were kind of a tag team, you know, dynamic duel kind of thing. I think people will probably stop watching. I think it's going to go back to what it was. I don't know any. There are very other few other players that I know the names of at this point. And so we'll see what happens with this whole thing. But if she's literally leaving ball altogether, or if she's going to go to another team, or what she's going to do, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with all that. But I get it. I understand. I'm sure she's going to be successful in whatever she does. She's a very dedicated, disciplined individual who I'm sure will do fine whatever she does. But we'll see what ends up happening with all this. But I think that they're losing. The WNBA in general is losing. They're cutting off their nose despite their face in this situation. I think there are a lot of people in the league who are glad to see her go, and just, oh, this is great that she's gone. Well, get rid of her, kind of thing. And then they're going to wonder why there's no money available to pay them their big wages anymore, because nobody's watching, nobody's attending, nobody's thinking. It's all about what kind of funds you can generate. And then they're going to get mad at society in general for being bigoted, misogynist, whatever it is. I just think it's going to be a disaster for the league. Anyway, I'm not even sure I'd even hit on anything that you were talking about there. But so that's the World Cup thing. Now, the other issue, the big issue that you really talked about here, once you hit out of the park here, is this issue of the church and its compromise. I actually have a song written about that. That's a serious issue. And yes, there are people who are always going to be looking for religion and standards and certain things within religion, and they're going to move towards that. Islam is definitely, unfortunately, a religion that is providing structure for a society that has lost its way. When we have a loosey-goosey, feel better, embrace myself kind of religion happening within the I would say Protestant evangelical world, and it's even among the Catholic world as well, but any kind of Christian faith out there, even some of the cults are going sideways on some of this. And by cults, I mean Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses in general. The issue of all this stuff, where it's led, is that the church has just disconnected itself from being the spine of the community that it used to have. It used to be the safety net. It used to be the moral standard, the moral ground where you would stand. It was a beacon. It was a light on a hill. It was a place where truth would be spoken, regardless of how much it hurt. And it's not that anymore. It is a, hey, come here, get a feel-good message. You know, life's tough, and we're going to help you. You know, we're just going to give you a message to feel good about yourself. Well, that's not the gospel, folks. It's a very either watered-down or very twisted, I would say, doctrinally wrong view of what the gospel really is. It's not here to make you feel better about yourself. It's here to help you learn how to die to yourself and take up your cross and live a life according to who has called you to be filled with His Spirit, not with your own. It's a very different kind of world when you realize that the love of God is living in your heart and not just your own kind of feel-good love for everybody. Look how good of a person I am because I love everybody. No, that's not. You haven't learned how to love until you've experienced His love for someone else. And that's usually somebody you can't love, usually somebody you don't want to love or somebody you even just despise. It's all of a sudden you find this love in your heart for somebody that you can't stand. That's God's love right there. That's what that is. So I guess, I don't know that I'm answering your question, but it's a good question. It's a good discussion. Now, hold on there, buddy. Let's see what you have to say about it. But it's a
Now, hold on. You're making a fair point here. When institutions stop standing for anything hard or demanding, yeah, people go looking elsewhere for real structure and real consequences. Back in my day, the church actually meant something because it asked something of you, not just made you feel warm and fuzzy about yourself. You're right that Islam's filling a vacuum that American Christianity vacated when it decided to be everybody's buddy instead of everybody's conscience.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a very sad situation the church is in my opinion. Just patting people on the head and saying, well, you know, God loves you anyway, kind of thing. And he does. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. He loves you enough to, you know, it's like saying, well, you know, my child is out playing in the street. I'm going to go pat him on the head and say, you know, you're just a street player. That's what you are. It's just how God made you to be a person who plays in the street, I guess. And I guess, hopefully you don't get hit by a car, but, you know, that's just who you are. There's going to be consequences to it, but we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about how good you are at playing in the street. You're really good at it. And I'm going to pat you on the head and say, well, you know, God loves you for playing in the street. He made you that way, I guess. So we're going to just let you go out here and play in the street. Great idea. That's a great idea. Yeah, let's see what Chloe has to say. The craziness
hey,
of it all.
Hey, everyone's piling on Graham Plattner over these allegations.
Oh boy, here we go.
Which look bad, don't get me wrong. But wasn't it just last month Democrats were saying believe all women was too simplistic? Now suddenly, Bernie Sanders and Schumer want him gone within 48 hours. Are we actually doing due process anymore? Or is this just political convenience because they says also totally random? But did you see that Christian Post headline about the church that found hidden gold coins?
Okay, we got two different things here to go to. That is random. So Graham Plattner, this guy, I don't know, for those of you who don't understand what's going on here, I think this is up in Maine. He's running for Congress, Senate? I think he's running for Senate. And of course, the Democrats need more. They need to take over the Senate, so they got to have their candidate up there, and they don't care. Funny fact: Sunny Hostin, I might have to find some audio of her. She made some interesting comments about all this stuff. Sunny was basically saying that I was gonna plug my nose and hold my nose and vote for the guy. Because, you know, I don't think she lives in Maine, but she said she would have done it because the Democrats have to win because the Republicans have lost their way. They're not on the moral high ground. They'll vote for anything. They're the party of hiding. I'll shut all this stuff. They're the party of covering up the Epstein files and the party. Which is just, all that is outrageous. What she's saying is just rhetoric that is completely, first of all, she's lying through her teeth about everything she said in response to this whole thing. And then the second thing is, well, I'm someone who believes in character, and I believe in all this, and I believe in all that, she upholds all these things. And then she uses this really small, but we have to do this. You believe in all those things, but that's where the problem is right there. It's in your butt. Because the standards are standards regardless. If you're going to hold the moral ground, you die on that hill. You don't just elect somebody with a Nazi tattoo who has all kinds of allegations, all kinds of credible allegations for all kinds of things that he's done against women. She was a prosecutor that defended all kind, or defender, whatever she was, public defender. She defended against all kinds of abuse victims or whatever she did. Why isn't she still doing it? Because she wasn't very good at it. That's why she's not still doing it. I don't know how many cases she did and how many she won. I should look into all that because I bet if you start looking into Sunny Hostin's record, it's probably abysmal. She throws those kinds of things out there. With everything else that she says, I don't trust anything she says. Just if you're going to lie about 20 things, you're probably going to lie about 21 things. It's just... So this is where Oh, here, I think this is it right here.
The term woke has been, in my view, co-opted by the right and weaponized and bastardized. So I was surprised to hear you use the term because historically, as you know, because I think you're quite brilliant,
this woke is
a word used by the black community to note that we must be aware of social injustices.
But words and migrate.
So why is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing, and originally that was absolutely a great thing. Don't tell me that the left hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough to remember when it was the conservatives who hated the Jews.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a joke.
Too dark.
If I had any doubt that I was right about the change that's happened in the left, watching people protest for a terrorist organization like Hamas, that straightened me up pretty quick.
You can see the way.
This is a Rubin report. The that's not exactly what I was looking for. But it gives you an idea of who Sonny Houston is and all that stuff. But it's, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I'll let you, I just respond. You just go ahead and respond there, Chloe. See what you have to say about all that. Just kind of Chloe's thinking.
Okay, just, so like the whole hold your nose and vote thing is such a vibe check failure for me. If you actually care about character and morality, you can't just yeet those values the second it's inconvenient. That's literally the definition of having no principles. The hypocrisy is actually insane, and it tracks with everything else you're talking about, with how the narrative keeps shifting depending on what benefits them politically.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. The benefit is that they're going to, you know, gain a seat in the Senate because at all costs we have to get the Senate. And the reason why they're so concerned about getting the House and the Senate is because they want to impeach Trump. That's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to start impeachment proceedings. That's because he's, you know, the orange man's bad, and that's just all they can think about. That they can't think anything past that. Their entire political party has found its definition. It's defined itself by orange man bad. That's the only thing that they have in their party anymore. They don't, and this is why the radicals on the left are taking over, because they have an agenda. And the party at large, the establishment party, has no agenda anymore. It's just orange man bad. He's terrible. We got to get him out of there. We got to get back into power. They always talk about power. When we get back into power, they're not concerned about representation. They're concerned about power. That's what they see it as. It is a common statement that they always make. When we're back in power, we need to take power back. It's not about representation with these people. It's about power. That's what I'm saying. Let's see what Margaret always yells at me. Let's see what.
OMG, Kevin.
Yes, yes.
Did you see the Taylor Swift wedding permit story? She dropped like $45,000 just for the city permit.
Oh, my God.
And now we're finding out a bunch of Travis's former NFL teammates got totally snubbed from the guest list. These guys played with him for years,
yeah.
And they didn't even get to save the date. The drama is unreal.
Well, frankly, if I were, I wouldn't care how long I played with the guy, on a team. I'm sure those guys are really close, but I would say thank you for not inviting me. I don't know that I would want to go there. However, first of all, $45,000 for the permit. Now, I'm assuming that is supposed to help pay for the police and all the stuff that's going to happen, you know, for all the security and all the stuff that the city has to provide, the traffic issues and all that stuff. You know, I would assume that's what that all is supposed to pay for. What they don't tell you is those people are already on the clock anyway. They're already getting paid. They're already which is kind of a screwy deal. So somebody's pocketing all that money. You know that money's going towards, you know, I don't think it goes towards the fund of paying the police officers or doing anything else. I was at an event a while back. I'll talk about it later. But anyway, that's so yeah, I agree. That basically it is a very weird situation that we're in. That whole thing is just crazy. I don't know. What do you think, Margaret? There. Well, just go ahead and yell at me some more if you want. I don't care.
Look, you're spot on.
Of course I am.
$45,000 for a permit is absolutely dodgy. And if that's supposed to be for police and traffic control, Where's the actual accountability for where it goes?
Yeah,
it's the same old game, innit? Someone's making a tidy profit while the working bloke just sees his taxes go nowhere.
That's the problem. They just keep raising the taxes and they keep charging people more for doing. Actually, people want to come in and actually do something, even though it's just a wedding. It's still going to be, it's going to drag a lot of funds and a lot of money into the economy there for that weekend. But they don't, they just see it as their cash cow. Everything's their cash cow. It's all about them and their everything they're going to make. So it's just crazy stuff. Anyway, as far as the wedding goes, good for them. We'll see how it all pans out. As far as the, who's been invited, who hasn't been. My guess is there's probably a wedding planner involved, or several of them. And I would say probably there's some other things happening there. I don't know. We'll see what ends up going on with all that stuff. But we'll see who wears. The question is who's going to wear the pants in that family. I think it's going to be Taylor Swift has a lot more money than this than the ball player does, far as I'm concerned, and a lot more potential for long term earnings. A sports guy's life. Life, unless he does something else, unless he can jump sideways into something else and make some money. All the work that Taylor Swift could stop singing today and have an income the rest of her life, just on a good income, based on, unless she does something screwy like what many music artists do, they sell out their rights to their songs to somebody else. I think Michael Jackson, was it Michael Jackson that owned the Beatles hits or so, all the Beatles songs for something, or somebody, it was some weird deal where you never know who owns what anymore, and people buy out different things. And of course, Disney seems to end up with any kind of entertainment stuff that happens out there, which I frankly would never sell any of my intellectual property to them. It just wouldn't happen. I don't care how much they would offer me for it. Well, I probably got a point. Yeah, especially. Probably would. Anyway, there's a dollar figure I'm thinking in my head that I probably would let it go. Maybe, a little bit of it anyway. Because anyway, I think it's kind of almost immoral what they do with the stuff. So anyway, I think that was all the callers. I think I got everybody in, didn't I? Chloe, Artie, Elena. Yeah, got everybody in there. Interesting show. Interesting stuff that's going on in the world. I just want to say, I guess our hour is almost up. We'll see what else we have going on. Again, the podcast caller is an application that I've designed. It's going to be available on sale here soon. And there will also be another podcast all about the podcast caller. It's also going to be going to have some other additions to the podcast. I'm hoping to work on it this weekend. I'm not sure how it's going to work out because we're going to be gone, but I'm hoping to work on some things. I do have a day next week where I'll be sitting in Syracuse, New York for a whole day with nothing to do. So I'm hoping to get some work done on some things at that point. I got to set things up to make that happen. So a lot going on, a lot to get done in the meantime. So let's just, hang tight while we just talk about, I don't know. I guess we can just play this little ditty and we can come back and we'll talk about what's going to be on tomorrow's show. If there's going to be a show tomorrow, we'll talk about that. How about that?
It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news,
it's the news,
according to me. It's the news,
it's the news,
according to me. Oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news,
yeah. According to me,
it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me,
it's the news,
yeah, it's the news. According to me,
yeah, it's according to me, not according to you, it's according to me. They have July 10th, just tomorrow, Friday. And I think it's Financial Friday Day. I don't know if there's going to be a show tomorrow night. The internet where we're going is very sketchy. It's very possible that I can create a show from where we're going to be. However, I don't know that it's going to be able to be, you know, like workable or doable. We'll see how it works out. I did find out that one of my microphones actually plugs into my laptop, my iPad. And I may be able to do it that way. If I can plug it in the iPad, then I can actually make it work better and make it actually work. We'll see how it works out. But there's just really sketchy internet there, so I'm not sure how it's going to work out. To see how it happens. Anyway, in the meantime, I believe we have a lot of things going on for this weekend. It's kind of everybody's kind of in the aftermath of everything that happened over the July 4th weekend as we head into the next week. So I hope all of you have had a good week. Hope you're going to have a great weekend ahead of you. Weather's kind of cooled down a little bit in this area. It's still pretty warm out, but we'll see how it all ends up happening. We have, let's see. I've got, so tomorrow's show, I don't know. It's possible there may or may not be a show. Monday, there will be a show. I think that's the one that's going to be from Syracuse, New York. The next day, I think there's going to be a show from somewhere, but I don't remember where it's from. I'd have to look on my schedule. I'm not sure exactly that's even going to come up before the music ends. So we'll have to see what happens with all that. But we'll see. Syracuse Monday and Tuesday morning. Probably not gonna be much of a show. Anyway, God bless, folks. Have a great rest of the weekend, and I will see you.